This is the Hooligan Hour with your host, Brock Baker.
Hooligans! Welcome to the Hooligan Hour podcast. I am your host, Brock Baker, a.k.a. the Cash Money Hooligan, a.k.a. the Money Weight, a.k.a. the Shiner Brock Junkie. All the shameless plugs. And on this voyage with me is my dude with the tude, now known as Johnny Bedlam, a.k.a. Johnny CrossFit, CrossFit Jesus. February for all of you reality of wrestling fans. What's up, Johnny?
Oh, God. It feels good to hear that. Oh, man.
I got to get you so now I have to get you a new soundbite, sound drop, what have you, for Johnny Bedlam.
Yeah, we're working out the kinks, man.
We got to replace the hamster dance.
We're working out the kinks, but hey, we got it coming. We got it going on. That's right. That's right. I am now Johnny Bedlam, a.k.a. Johnny Ray Sissel.
There you
AKA
go.
Johnny CrossFit, AKA February, AKA the JB and Brock Boy and JB. That's right, it's me, it's the JRC. Where, it's Johnny Baby!
And we are coming to you straight from the Bo UFO. Johnny, tell our listeners where they can find you on social media.
All right, well, it's official now. You can find
it
me
official.
On Twitter at Bedlam Johnny. And then you can find me on Instagram at BedlamJohnny1. Uno Ichi. One. Just one. BedlamJohnny1.
Uno Ichi 1.
Yeah. Uno.
So is Ichi, is that for Japanese, is that one?
C. Hi.
Okay.
Hi.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. And Hooligans, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at CM Hooligan. That is CMH00LIGAN. CM Hooligan. Across Instagram and Twitter. As for Facebook, if you're creepy,
you know the drill.
It ain't gonna happen. We got an excellent show for you this week. You're gonna hear part two of Johnny's two-part interview with Zach Mason and Warren Johnson, collectively known as Flydef.
Oh, don't mind me. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. Hopping out the scene because I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Don't get mad at me because I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Do what you're supposed to do. You could get you some, too.
I don't know any of the words after that part.
Yeah.
But I will say part one was excellent, but I believe
Thank you. Part two
is just... It's so much better.
Part two
is really good.
We kind of go off the rails, man. We just start talking. Talking about.
But you know, we got to let our listeners know who Zach Mason and Warren Johnson are. Not everyone knows who they are.
Yeah, man.
We're introducing them to a new audience.
I bet you everybody will know. Hopefully, new demographics.
Oh, for sure. They will. I believe we're going to roll out another Hooligan Hour special segment. It's going to be a surprise. Coming up after the break.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's get to this break then so we can figure out what this segment is, Brock. Because Johnny Bedlam's ready. Johnny Bedlam's ready to
Johnny
have his first
Bedlam,
episode.
Johnny Bedlam's pushing it over here. He's making demands.
He's towing the line, Brock.
He's towing the line. He wants more money. He's making demands. I've about had it with Johnny Bedlam already. I'm joking. I'm happy that you are Johnny Bedlam.
Oh, thank you.
It's way more... marketable, yeah. That name. I can brand you much better with the Johnny Bedlam name. But, you know, I had to bust your balls a little bit.
Yeah.
Had to let you know what's up.
You better not do any of that copyright infringement crap on me. Otherwise, I'm going to knock you upside the head. Just like I did at Heavy Metal on October 19th.
No. That did not happen.
Yeah, it did. Don't deny it, Brock.
But we're going to jump out to a quick break. When we come back, we will get into a surprise segment.
Ooh.
Stay locked in. So, Johnny, you are Mr. Bedlam now.
Yeah.
How's life?
It's all right. It's kind of the same.
It's all right, kind of the same.
Yeah,
I'm about average.
It's kind of, it's kind of the same. I mean, yeah, my name's changed on the show, but I mean, nothing really changed outside of the show. It's just, I'm still
new adventures.
Nah, I mean,
you're still learning Japanese.
Yeah, I'm learning Japanese. I really think so. Like nothing really. Crown Jewel just happened. That was something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was something. My parents also
it was
had
something.
My parents also
highly
had
controversial.
Their 28th wedding anniversary.
Congrats.
So congratulations to Ken and Mary, aka Mom and Dad.
AKA Mr. and Mrs. Sissel.
Yes, yes. They are not Bedlamites.
Remember when I thought your name was pronounced Kissel?
Yeah, back on episode one. You guys can go check that out if you want. It's in the archives on the iTunes, Spotify, Google Play,
Pippa, iHeartRadio,
other places you can find this podcast. But yeah, they've been married for 28 years, man. Dang.
Pretty much as long as I've been alive.
Yeah. Okay. That's insane, man. That's insane to think about.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they raised two kids, and now
Speaking of, sorry to cut you off.
Nah, cut me off, please, because I'm running out of things to talk about.
You need to check out the 90s on Netflix.
The 90s? I've seen it. I've seen the little infographic about it.
But you haven't actually watched it.
No, I haven't watched it yet. There's a lot of things on Netflix where I'll just look at the infographic
You were born in 97?
97, yes.
97, okay.
Yes.
So you don't remember the 90s that much?
No.
But I feel like if you go back and watch the 90s series through Netflix, you might have a greater appreciation for what the 90s was.
Yeah. I appreciate the 90s. Like, I caught the tail end, kind of. Like, I guess you could say the reruns, the syndication of the stuff that was in the 90s. So,
right.
Like, for my generation, I guess things like Cat Dog, Kenan and Kel, that was a big one. Let's see. Seinfeld was always on in my house.
Friends.
Nah, my parents weren't really big Friends guy. I wasn't a Friends guy until it came on Netflix
later
a couple
life,
years
right?
ago.
Okay.
Like my junior year in high school, Friends was like the thing that I loved. You know, like I loved watching Friends. I finished it in 2 weeks. 10 seasons.
2 weeks?
10 seasons in 2 weeks.
That is commitment.
Here was my daily routine, right? I would go work out at school. Because it was in the summer. It was 2 weeks in the summer. I'd go work out at school, come home, watch Friends, go to work because I worked at a pizza shop. I was, you know, delivering pizzas and whatnot. Worked at the pizza shop, came back home, watched more Friends, went to bed at like 4, woke up at 8 the next day to work out at school again, and then did it all over.
So you were a delivery boy.
Yeah, man. Bro, that was the funnest job I've ever had, man.
So if I ask for a cup of coffee...
I ain't no errand boy. Errand boy. I was a pizza delivery bro.
I had to shoot my shot.
You ain't getting shit from me except the co-host on this podcast.
Well, I figured it was one of your, you know, one of your skills.
It could be one of my skills for the right price and the right person. I mean, you are the cash money hooligan. Why don't you start throwing some more money my way?
That's fair. Oh, it's coming. Trust me. It's coming.
Yeah, I got you there.
It's coming. Now, hooligans... I told you that we had a surprise segment, and this seems to be the most popular one of our Hooligan Hour segments.
Okay.
So I think we should hit them with the Hooligan Wonders.
The Hooligan Wonders.
Yeah. Oh. You missed out on the last Hooligan Wonders.
Yes, I did.
Unfortunately,
we had
some, you know, circumstances.
I also missed out on the interview with Kylie Rae. I was really looking forward to that, man.
Well, hey, but I told you we're going to kind of, you know, go a little bit back and forth with our interviews.
Yeah, yeah, I know. But it would have been nice to, like, hear it as it was going on.
Stay
in the Bobo UFO and see Brock do his thing.
I understand.
You know?
I understand.
I get it. But, hey, man, scheduling conflicts and whatnot. Yeah. But I'm here. You can hear my interview with Zach and Warren on this episode later. And
fair
I
enough.
Feel like I did my fair share.
You did a great job.
So let's get these Hooligan Wonders underway, bro.
Let's get right to it, Johnny. First question. Tony Koloss 5.
What's up, Tony?
TonyKolas 5 asks, what mythical creature do you wish actually existed? Go ahead.
So what kind of mythology are we talking? Are we talking Greek mythology?
He didn't specify, Johnny. Okay? He didn't give me that much.
Marvel mythology.
He didn't give me that much to work with.
Norse mythology. Let's see. Mythological creatures, man. I guess I would say the people on the island of the Lotus Eater.
What?
Yeah.
The people on the island of the Lotus Eater.
And so I read the Odyssey in high school. Everybody reads the Odyssey in high school. So there's that part in the Odyssey where he goes to the island and they got the lotus flower, right? And the lotus flower is like, it's like a drug.
Yeah.
And you can like keep eating the lotus flower and you'll want to stay on that island for like the rest of your life. But I feel like it's a pretty sweet island. I feel like it'd be pretty cool. And I feel like the people that would be giving you the lotus flower would be like really good looking women. And I feel
got a point.
You know, man, so if I got to stay on an island for the rest of my life, bro, it seems like a really cool island to be on, you know?
That's fair.
I guess if we had to pick, man, I'm not going to pick freaking, like, a seven-headed monster. Like, because that's what I'm thinking when he says mythological creatures. I'm thinking, like, a beast with seven heads or a leviathan or something.
Yeah.
You know? I'd rather take the chill island and stay there than have a big old beast.
So,
you know,
a mythical... Ooh, that was... It gets me every time when she says, do you really? So you, rather than a mythical creature, you're saying a mythical people? Like a culture or...
I don't know. I haven't read the Odyssey in a long time.
Content or... Yeah, I read the Odyssey when I was a freshman in high school.
Yeah.
So that was, what, 14,
something like
15
that.
Years? Yeah. This is a while ago. 13, 14, 15, somewhere in there. I can't tell you. I forgot about those people until you mentioned it. To be frank, but yeah, I'm okay. I'll give you that one.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know.
I'll give you that
what
one.
About
it,
you,
it's
Brock?
A it's an off
it's
the wall
a weird question. Yeah, I don't know. It kind of caught me off guard.
Well, leprechauns do exist because I exist.
Yeah,
and I'm the best goddamn leprechaun on this planet.
All right.
What's up, McGregor? I would say unicorns.
Unicorns?
Well, actually, let me take that back. Let me backtrack a little bit here. Backtrack. Because I feel some people believe aliens are mythical creatures, that they're not real.
Uh-huh.
Again, with the do you really? So, quit. I guess I'll go with the aliens if, for whatever reason, any of you hooligans don't believe that there are other life forms out there, which we're going to talk about on this podcast here in the upcoming future.
Okay.
I'll go with aliens. I love aliens. Obviously. We have the Bobo UFO. We have our X-Files theme going.
Uh-huh.
Or, excuse me, their entrance, the intro.
Yeah, something.
Let me correct myself. But yeah.
This might be a theme song. I don't know.
Yeah.
My favorite alien is Lil Mayo.
Lil Mayo.
Lil Mayo, yeah. Look him up.
I'm going to have to because I have no idea what you're talking about
He's pretty cool. I love Lil Mayo. Shout out to Lil Mayo, man.
Is it comedy or what?
Yeah,
it's
straight up comedy.
Well, I'll have to check him out. I have to check him out later. So Johnny has what? What were their names?
The Lotus People.
The Lotus People. And I have aliens. So thank you, Tony Kolas 5, for that question. TonyKolas 5. Thank you very much for question number one. I feel like now we should move to question number two.
Dose.
What say you, Johnny?
Knee. Dose. Knee.
Dose. Knee.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Drunkle Ben.
Drunkle Ben.
Drunkle underscore Ben.
Drunkle Ben.
Let
pretty,
me correct myself
that's pretty
again.
Good.
He writes, I've recently started working with a girl who I have a big crush on.
Uh-oh.
How should I approach this?
Oh, touch yourself, Ben.
Don't do that.
Or
if you're going to do that in the comfort of your own home.
Yeah.
Please.
So I'm not really one to spit game, you know? Man, Man. This is kind of a tough one.
Why?
You know,
so you've never ever hit a girl up.
Well, yeah, but like,
oh, what's up, ma?
Yeah,
I
don't
do
that.
You do?
I don't.
You
do
look
that
like a guy.
I don't do that.
You look like that kind of guy.
What's up, ma? Hey, I saw
hey,
you
little
from
mama.
Across the room,
that's
mama.
You
looking fine there? Nah, I don't do that. Man, Drunkle Ben. I guess, bro, just feel it out. You know, the best thing you could do is just be normal. Like, and I know normal is different for everybody, but man, just be relaxed, be cool, be yourself, you know? Because that's the one thing that you got to do when you come across anybody, is just be yourself, man. Because people are going to like you because you're yourself. They're not going to like you because you're somebody else. They're going to like you for you. So if you hang out with this girl, you know, you start working with this girl, and, you know, you kind of are being yourself, and she's kind of digging it, man, then just be like, straight up, hey, you know, I think you're kind of cute. I think you're really cool. Maybe we could, you know, go catch a movie or get some dinner sometime. You know, just do something like that. And here's the thing, though, Ben. If she says no, just be okay with it. Yeah. Just be okay with it, because that works. Man, if you're cool with it, they'll be like, wow, he was really cool with that. You know,
he's very respectful.
That. Yeah, you got to respect that. You got to respect women, Brock. It's 2018, man. That's what we do here.
Whoa,
in the Hobo UFO.
Whoa. I don't respect women now.
You don't respect women? No, oh, I said you, I just said you got to respect.
Oh, I thought you were implying.
No, okay. I just said you got to respect women in general.
You were throwing shade,
man. I ain't throwing shade at my boss, dog.
No, so what I got out of that, Johnny, is basically be cool about it.
Yeah.
Don't overstep your boundaries.
Don't be a creep.
That would be my advice. I say it all the time, hooligans, in the intro. If you're not creepy, I will add you on Facebook. The same thing applies with working relationships. You got to see that person all the time. Unless you quit, I guess you could do that in theory. Don't recommend that. Then you don't have any income. But yes, Ben, don't be creepy. Take your time. Fill it out. If I were you, I would give yourself 3 to 4 months of filling it out. I feel like that's a good timetable. Yeah. 3 to 4 months.
Just don't wait too long, because she might get a boyfriend in that time.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We'll go 3. Four, yeah, it's probably pushing a little bit. But I feel like 3 is, trust me, time flies, man.
You'll know when the time's right, man. Like, yeah. I think you will.
Definitely,
I think you'll be okay.
Definitely don't approach her after 3 weeks of working together.
Yeah.
That's a no-go.
Yeah.
So, again, with the do you really?
Huh.
That's a little much. So, yes, Drunkle underscore Ben, I would tell you, be cool, take your time, don't be creepy. If she says no, respect it. As Johnny said, she'll probably be, well, I wouldn't say she'll just straight up be into you, but she might give you a chance.
She'll be like, oh, man, that was really cool.
Yeah, because you know how girls play. She might be trying to test you. Just to see how you react, see what your maturity level is. If you're cool about it, she'll be like, wow, this guy he's a very classy gentleman. Yeah. He's mature. I can respect that. She might give you a shot. So, Drunkle underscore Ben, thank you for your question. I hope it works out for you.
Just be you, man. In a world where you can be anything, be yourself.
That's a quote. We're going to quote you, put it on a t-shirt. Yeah. I feel like I just need a list of Johnny Bedlam potential quotes.
What was the other
that
one?
That can slap
like,
on a t-shirt.
It was like, just have
freaky,
fun, bro.
Well, that, it was like, just have fun.
Just have fun, bro.
Just have fun, bro. And then freaky deaky EDM.
Yeah, that was freaky deaky EDM, man.
That's what we're working with right
Shout
now.
Shout out to Rez, dog. Making that freaky deaky EDM.
If any of you hooligans would like to see these end up on a t-shirt, let me know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, get on my DMs, email me, throw it on my wall, tweet at me, whatever you got to do. Message in a bottle. I'll take that.
Yeah, man. Get us some money.
Put it on a billboard. Let us know what you think about these Johnny Bedlam quotes, and if you want to see it on a t-shirt, and hey, it just might happen. I have no idea what this is.
Wait, whoa. Are we on the island of the Lotus People?
I think we are.
Oh, man. Oh.
Don't get carried away, Johnny.
All right. Keep that flower away from me, Brock. We're going to have to hop into the UFO pretty soon again.
Yeah, I'm just going to
this place
short.
Is really nice. Oh.
You're done. Oh,
dang. All right. Well, yeah, it was fun while it lasted, though.
Yeah, how did that impromptu surprise segment go? I felt it went pretty well. It went about
man.
As well as it can go for
it took us
a
all
surprise.
The way to it took us all the way to an ancient island, so
yeah, it did.
Hey man, we're picking up adventures here in the Bobo UFO. Every
we
day.
Always do.
Can you make a quick stop real quick?
Where's that?
I gotta use the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then I gotta cancel my tan membership also.
your TAN membership.
Yeah, it's just not working out for me.
Yeah, we'll just hop right over here, pull over.
Cool. Maybe we should take a break though. I don't want to hear the door on the, you know, on
you
the
don't want to hear a door.
Well, because then they're gonna be like, oh, they have a door, we can get in. You know.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, we're gonna jump out to a quick break. When we come back, you are going to hear part two of Johnny's two-part episode. Well, not episode, interview with Zach Mason, Warren Johnson, Fly Def. The part one, I thoroughly enjoyed, but I've been waiting to release part two because I believe it's just so much better, man.
This
is way better than part one. Not to say that part one wasn't good, but part two is when we really get spicy up in here in the Bobo UFO.
Say it with me, Brock. Ah, hell.
I'll give you that one. I'll give you that one.
Here we go.
This is the Hooligan Hour with your host, Brock Baker. Brock Baker.
Are you? Are you trying to give back at me? Hooligan! Wait, nah, just kidding. It's me, Johnny. We're back here with Zach and Warren.
Yeah.
Zach, Warren, y'all hanging in there, boys?
Yeah.
All right. So we're just going to jump right back into this thing, man. So when y'all came together for the first time as a tag team, when y'all were told, hey, we're going to put you guys together, what was y'all's first reactions?
Well, so haven't had my first match yet. Still training.
It was funny.
I'm just waiting, trying to get on the show, whatever. It's like, this had to be, when did it have to be?
Because I was on the show before.
I remember now, yeah. So, yeah. It was summer. I had just finished a semester. And so, it was in June. And so, they weren't doing nothing with me yet. And I was like, how am I going to get on the show?
I had just debuted on the show the month before.
Mm-hmm.
Just with a match with Ransom. And it's funny because, Zach came to me, earlier, before we even got together and was like, have you thought about...
I was going to tell it, man.
Go ahead.
My bad. Hold up, man.
Tell it, probably, a month or two before, they weren't doing nothing with me. I'm like, how am I going to get on the show? Maybe I should try and tag with somebody. Yeah. They need tag teams. They got no tag teams. And I think match up the best with? And there's Warren, another athletic black man. So I was like, all right, it'll just be natural. We got to work good together, right? And so I went to him, asked him if he wanted to do the tag thing. He was like, yeah, maybe. Go give me a Red Bull. I'll think about it. That's what
We'll talk about it.
And then I think Warren debuted later on the show, probably a little bit after that.
Yeah. Yep.
And then what happened?
Do you remember?
He hit me up, and I was like, man, you're right. He's like, they don't have any tag teams, and think about it, man. We could get on the show. It's a way to get on the show. And I'm kind of like, because that was my goal when I first got there. When I first moved, I went from doing a lot of shows mm-hmm. to not doing any shows at all.
Yeah.
So it was and it was all for the good, and so my goal was to try to get on the show, and that's all I was working for.
Because if you look back at it, they didn't really have a lot of tag teams. They had Alpha Unit. They had. Did they still have Pride?
I think
Pride was running their end, maybe.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
And I think
Legion was tagging. They had a.
Freaking Ryan and
and
Ryan and Alex Reigns,
Alex Reigns. They were pretty dope.
They had just
it'd be dope
broke
to
up.
Face them. Mm-hmm. Just throwing that out there.
Okay,
but he came to me said, "Yeah, tag team, man. Let's do it." And I'm like, "Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm down." And I debuted just on a whim. I remember I was working my day job and literally they texted me and they were like, "Can you bring your gear tonight?" we need somebody. I think Brian Keith's baby was being born or something. Mm-hmm. And it was just a chance. And I did that. And then, like, literally, like, the show, the month after that, that was May, June, we were tagging out of nowhere. They're like, hey, we're going to put you guys together.
Okay.
And we got to rapping, and that's how it happened. And then the best day of my life.
Def was born.
Yeah, we really didn't have a name. We were just going by
Zach and Warren.
Yeah,
Warren
so Johnson. We were really supposed to just, we were really just going to have us job out to Brock and Van. That was the thing. Yeah. And then when we had the match,
it was so good.
They just ended up liking us for some reason, mm-hmm. the crowd. And like,
it's funny.
Come next month, they gave us another match. And we were like, cool.
It was funny because, like, you look back at it, like, we're doing like tag moves in our together in our first match. Like, it's like we don't even know each other.
we're doing all this tag.
You don't even know me, but we'll barrel me into him. Splash. Yeah.
It's kind of cool though, because like y'all are, I would even say even only after a year, y'all are one of the staples of the show. Yeah, at least in my opinion, like
definitely. I think
when y'all go out there, y'all's music hits. That place pops.
Yeah, man. And that's love, man. And I like, along with Zach, we appreciate all that, man. Because like it's just like when stuff flows like that, you know, it's just meant to be, and it's a feeling. Mm-hmm. And now we like, you know, we train together, we're working on tag moves together all the time, coming up with ideas. And we just, you know, bring some, even when it comes to our promos, we just try to get ourselves out there. And I think we have a definite good spot on the show. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm grateful for it, man. Like, you know, like you said, people look forward to us like being out there.
Yeah.
And, you know what I'm saying? There's always comes a time where, you know, you might not get on the show at some point, and that's okay. But like, you know, people want to see you. They're like, man, you're not on the show this week? Ah, man, like, it's going to make you come back next month because, you know, like, man, all right, well, next month, yeah.
When did you guys, like, figure out that y'all were gelling, that y'all were clicking with each other? Was it
the first match?
From the first jump, match?
Because it was just like, dude, like, it was just, dude, like, we mm-hmm. just gelled.
I remember
something for us just works. I don't know what it is.
Unexplainable.
Mm-hmm. But, like,
or what's understood ain't got to be explained.
When like, we're always just real. Like, we don't hang all out, like, all the time, like, outside the show, but when we're in the ring, we're just on the same wavelength, like, all the time. Like,
I remember that first match with the Bodies. Mm-hmm. I think it was Christmas Chaos.
No, first match was the October before that.
October? It was the one...
Because we did three matches. We did one in October.
So the second one then. The second one where Warren got hurt on the outside.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, that was the second.
I remember that place, like, I was, you know, sitting in the back, because that was when I had my first match. Mm-hmm. And I got to sit in the back and watch it, and I could hear that place was just going ape, man. Like, you guys had them.
They thought we were.
You guys had them, you know. Was that, like... Would you say, like, that match or the ones where y'all won the tag championships, which one do you think was bigger in your opinion?
Ooh.
Because that first one kind of, like, established y'all, in my opinion.
Like, I think the first one really, like...
The first one really does, man.
Put us on.
Mm-hmm. The first match really connected, like, on a whole kind of a lot of different dots that has to do with the inner workings of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, Book came to me and was, like, you know, explaining the match to me. And he's like, you know, I need you to bring out some acting and all that, you know. And, like, he's like, really, you know what I'm saying, get into a different aspect of it outside of doing what we're doing in the ring as far as, like, moves and everything. It's mm-hmm. like, you know, I went down with an injury, and it's like, you know, I can't get back. And then Zach's Superman over here.
Flying all over the place.
Over, you know what I'm saying? Just,
I remember they were like, you know, he comes up to us, he's like, yeah, they want me to do a dive.
That's what I was trying to get to, man.
Oh, man.
And then he comes over the top rope like freaking Taker. Fucking.
I was scared. Man, I didn't want to do it because I had never done a dive before.
However, you said, yeah, they just told me to tuck and roll.
What did I say? Tuck and roll. What?
No,
tuck and roll. I did like the big Taker.
Yeah.
Dive over the top, man. But it was dope though. Like,
I thought you were gonna do the full like flip.
No.
And then you stopped halfway. I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds right. That seems right. That, you know. But
so then I was like, I didn't want to do it. I was scared. I'm like, how am I? I don't even know if I can do this. How am I gonna do this? They were just like, just do it.
And I'm like down on the ground, and like when he did it, I'm just like looking up, like, yes. holding my knee. Like,
and I'm there, so they're like down, and then I see that they're down. I was like, all right, it's time for me to do this. And I just look at the camera, and I was just like,
looks at the crowd.
All right, let's go. Okay. And I just take off running, and then just. It was easy. Like, yeah. I don't know why I was, like, so scared the first place. There's three of y'all out there to catch me. And then it was fun. I felt like a swan.
That was a fun match to watch. It was a fun match to watch. So you had that one in December. Y'all won the Reality Wrestling Tag Team Championships in March, I believe, right?
Yes.
March.
Yeah.
How was like, holding those titles? Like, was that kind of like the stamp of approval of like, okay, we got these titles now. They're really rolling with us. We really feel like this is something that we could do for a long time.
Yeah. I don't think it was like it was just like the beginning. Like I kind of felt like this is only the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, and I felt definitely like, you know, a stamp of something because like, you know, we're the champions now. We, you know, we got to be seen on every show. And I was just grateful when, you know, they let us know, or, you know what I'm saying, when we won, like,
we were working, like, so hard, like, before that to get there, like, we went from losing every single match.
I remember that.
And then, and even in losing, like, the crowd was coming up for us,
because what we were doing was
more
so
and more every time. And then finally we started winning, and then when we hit the finish and we both pinned dude at the same time and that crowd just erupted and then ref hands us the title and I'm like, this is right. Like, this is what I came here to do. I freaking did this. This is only the beginning. We ain't even done
like,
yet.
Like, the goal was just to get on the show and then, like, now you're on the show and it's just like, you're just going and going and then, like, all of a sudden you win the titles. You're like, man, like, damn, we're really in this position. That's crazy. And like, man, like,
I remember being in the ring with you guys the next month, and like, just hearing that place while we were going, and Zach's coming in, huge over the head belly to belly suplexes, and that crowd's erupting, and I'm just saying, man, like, ooh, they got him, and like, you know, you can't. That's something that, you know, not a lot of people are able to pull off so early in the business, and it's really cool to see like you guys have clicked not only with each other but with the audience.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so that's
just a testament to how great a school Books is. Like, I hear it, like, I know Q, he calls it like the hyperbolic time chamber or whatever, because like a month at Books is like.
It's like two years
anywhere else.
Yeah, you got to look at it like some schools train like only 3 days a week or maybe 2 days a week or like, you know, maybe two times a month.
We train every single day.
Man, Monday through Friday.
It's nonstop, like, dog. It's a rolly, not a stopwatch.
It don't ever stop.
Speaking of hip hop, Warren, let's get into this album that we wanted to review. So listened to Black. Is it Black? Six Lack? What is it?
It's Black.
It's Black. Yeah. Okay.
I thought it was Six Lack when I first heard him too, and then we talked about it before. I think I saw like a tweet or like a picture of his T-shirt and it was like Six Lack, pronounced Black. So it's like, I think it was a nice little marketing stream. Like, even if he didn't mean for it to be, which I think he already knew what he was doing when he did that. Like, just putting it out there, like putting his music out there. You just see his name. You never like. Really heard his name, so I think it was like.
For me, the "Let Her Go" is obviously like the standout song on this one. What's like to you? Which one was it?
Man, "Pretty Little Fears" was pretty dope.
With Cole. Okay, that one was good. Yeah, I think it
was only because I was anticipating that track. Like, I heard a lot about that track before the album like came out, so I was kind of like, all right.
How did you feel about like the flow of it? You know, because like you have the interludes with the voicemails and whatnot kind of
those
bleeds.
Voicemails were crazy. I'm just kind of
they're kind of wild, man. Like,
shut up, quit.
like, how'd you feel about like the flow of it? Like, do you like more like flowing albums like that, or do you prefer, you know, one song stop, individual songs, or do you prefer
it's
the
just
flow?
How,
of...
I don't know. I just look at music from a lot of different perspectives, honestly. So like, I try to just. go in listening to anything I listen to with an open mind and try to see where the artist takes me, because like I do music as well, so like I understand how those things work. And I felt like it was a good album. I think it flowed very well. It was definitely something to ride to. So I did like the flow and like how things connected, and then like, you know, it's like the voice messages and everything that was going through it. It's like, it made me hate the girl that was talking. I'm just like, oh, my God. But, like, I think that was the point. That's the reaction.
And you can kind of envision, like, the person who's doing it. Like, you can kind of visualize the kind of person that's leaving that message.
I'm just like, girl, be quiet.
What other songs, like, on there were standouts to you?
Balenciaga Challenge with Offset. That was pretty dope.
I like the one with Khalid. And then Stan. Yeah. Scripture was pretty good, too.
Scripture was pretty dope. I did like that one.
What about Loaded Gun? Did you like Loaded Gun?
Yeah, that one was pretty dope too. I liked how the album kicked off with Unfair, and then it went to that, and it was just dope. Like how those two songs just kind of meshed together.
So overall, on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you give it?
Man, I don't even like grading stuff, man. I give it a good. I give it a 10, man.
A 10?
I'll give it a 10, man.
Man.
Like, I don't know, man, dude. I feel like
this man's giving out 10s.
I don't know, man. Like, I feel like what he was trying to do with his album got into me. So I was just like, dude, I'll fuck with it. Like, I listened to everything, like, with an open mind. And I'm just like, it rolled to me. So, I don't know.
Zach, you listen to this at all?
I've heard, like, one song. I heard Balenciaga Challenge, and that was it.
Okay.
I don't know. That.
Where do you think it ranked? Like, where do you think, like, compared to the other ones that came out this year? Like, what do you think about
two albums? You talking about
like this year? Brock mentioned
it. I seen a meme the other day, and it had like 9 albums that came out this year, and they're like, which one's the album of the year? And it was like, it was crazy. It's like I think I seen Astroworld, KOD, of course. I seen like XXXTentacion stuff.
By the time this interview drops, the Carter Five will be out too.
I'm supposed to drop today. The day we're recording this right now, but J-Rock wasn't on there.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much like one of the, him and Nipsey Hussle, probably those two dropped like album of the year. Like,
okay. All right.
To me, man.
I feel you.
And they weren't even on there. I think Victory Lap might have been on there, but.
Yeah. Nah, yeah, man. Well, like to me, it was a good album. I enjoyed it, especially, you know, the fact that all the albums that have come out this year, a lot of them have been, you know, very upbeat, very upscale, but this one was very mellow, very calm. Sometimes you need stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like a wrestling match, man. You can't just be high energy all the time.
Definitely.
So, you know.
What do you give it?
So, 10 out of 10 to me is like a perfect album. You know?
I don't know, man. I'm kind of like, I don't really like
I feel you though.
It's kind of weird.
I feel you. I'd give it like a solid 7.5 or 8.
That's good.
You know, just because it was, you know, it was flowing.
Yeah.
It was real chill. It was real nice to listen to. I'll probably listen to it on the road, you know. But no, man, it was a good album. I'm looking forward to his next one whenever it comes out. I'm ready.
Definitely.
I'm ready.
That Thunder's
I'm ready. I'm ready. Zach.
What?
Zach.
Let me find out your favorite show.
We got to talk about SpongeBob.
What is it with you? You are like, okay. So Johnny like is just like an almanac of like pop culture.
I call
like,
myself a pop culture jukebox.
He just can like quote like any TV show, like knows and like out, any
shout
like
out to, shout out to your knowledge
song,
on
music, whatever.
Culture. Yeah, because dude, you be knowing some stuff, bro. I'd be like, man, fuck with Johnny.
I remember just recently we're, you know, back on the road from Dallas, and you're just playing hits, and I'm like, all right. I'm feeling this.
Know this stuff by heart, bro. I'm
for
like,
real. It's just, so like, I mean,
that's crazy.
My brother, we shared like an iTunes library, you know, and he was big into hip hop, and so I was just kind of there as, you know, oh well, this is his music. It's easy for me to just copy his music to my phone instead of make a whole new library. Yeah, so definitely. I, you know, I got into like Boosie and Lil. Boosie and Smoking Lil Wayne. Just like all this old Chamillionaire, Shop Boys, Party Boys, you know, all this stuff that someone like me, you know, usually wouldn't listen to. But no, man, yeah, I enjoy like making y'all laugh with that. Yeah. You know,
you be doing what you're talking about too. So yeah, that's why I like.
So Zach, this SpongeBob thing, right? Okay. Do you love SpongeBob as much as I think you do?
I do love SpongeBob, only like the first few seasons though.
Yeah, yeah. He's playing. Likewise. He's playing the theme song right now.
Is he right? Is yeah. he? I cannot hear it, but that's cool. Y'all can hear.
What's your favorite episode? But what's like your favorite like little moment of SpongeBob?
My favorite episode.
This old.
Gosh, I love like any of the ones that have like music in it.
Yeah.
So like, I think the Band Geeks episode.
That's the one everybody says is like the quintessential SpongeBob episode.
Yes, the song in Band Geeks was fire. Another fire song I know, like probably I don't know if too many people remember, was the shoe tying.
Yes, song. Yes, I was thinking about that
song. That song goes hard, bro. Oh my god.
Do a loop, do a loop, and roll. And your shoes are looking good. Yeah, you go over and back, left to right, loop de loop, and you pull them tight like bunny ears or Christmas bows. Hey. Sit on back and you're ready to go. You make a loop de loop and pull. And your shoes are looking good.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Knowing it by heart.
What's up? Oh, who's your favorite character? Because, like, for me, obviously, it's Squidward.
Squidward is... You're the only one that got some damn sense on that shit.
Oh, God.
Right? I keep telling Zach about this. It's the one where Pearl takes over the Krusty Krab. And She makes him like put on those outfits.
Oh, yeah.
And the little K's on the outfits, they like fall over Squidward's eyes and he just goes, rage, fury, irritation, humiliation.
Oh, God.
It's just,
man.
Like, damn, man, he's so sad.
He's just like, he's the only, yes, he's like the only person with sense on this show. But also his like his just life just sucks for some reason.
I think he
has like the best like one-liners on the show for sure. Like,
here, please hit me as hard as you can.
We serve food here, sir.
Before that, he's like, let me guess, what'll it be? Tiny, a small salad. But I think we appreciate Squidward more as adults, you know, because like. We've all been in those situations now that we have jobs. And we have to deal with people.
Bro, I'm Squidward every day, bro.
Like, shut up.
At my shoot job.
Do you think that's probably your favorite cartoon of all time, or do you think?
Oh, no. My favorite cartoon of all time is Hey Arnold.
Ooh, Hey Arnold?
That's crazy. That's mine, too.
That is my
hey
show.
Arnold. Hey Arnold. Okay.
I'm a big
dude. My favorite, real quick, my favorite SpongeBob episode was the one where they took Mermaid Man's belt.
You said it to
Wombo
for Wombo.
Wombo.
Wombology.
The study of Wombo.
It's first grade, SpongeBob.
Like, oh my god, bro.
I'm a big G.
And I like that part where like he does something with the belt and he's like trying to like I think he shrunk Squidward and he's like trying to bring him back.
And
you just can't see him, but you hear him in the background. And he's like, get it off, man. Like,
he has another one liner in there.
Sounded like something was sucking his face.
Yeah. I think Patrick's holding him and he just goes, you know, I wonder if a fall from this height would kill me.
Oh, God. And then Patrick's got some good ones too. Yeah. Like I could do like Patrick all day.
I wish I lived there.
Really?
No. Why don't we take Bikini Bottom
and push it
to somewhere else?
Push it somewhere else, man. Like I don't think we appreciate the fact that that show was so funny back then. Yeah. And we were so young, and we couldn't admire it as much as we do now.
A lot of shows are like that. They have
like Jimmy Neutron too. Jimmy Neutron was another one that I would watch, and I'm like, this show's funny, but I didn't, I didn't realize it.
You don't know why until you get older,
dude. Like, there's like a, I remember Hey Arnold. There's an episode of Hey Arnold. I can't remember what they were exactly doing, but he's like talking with his granddad, and he's like, "Grandpa, use your brain or something." And he's like, "Yeah, I lost a lot of brain cells at Woodstock or something like that." Bro, like, and you know, like when you're a kid, you don't like really get what Woodstock is, yeah. And then like you go to high school or whatever, and you know, then now you know what Woodstock is, and you go back, and you're like, "Damn."
But hey, Arnold has some deep episodes, man. Yeah, like, some deep episodes.
Sometimes I'll go to, I don't know if you've ever been to Box Lunch, that store in the mall.
Oh, I've been there.
And
yeah,
it's
yeah,
just
yeah,
like all that Nickelodeon and like old school Disney memorabilia. Yeah, dude, it'll just bring back like I bought a Rocket Power shirt or the Pizza Planet hat from Toy Story. Like just all this different stuff that, you know, you see and you're like, dang, man, like nostalgia is one hell of a drug.
I seen someone with a Pizza Planet shirt the other day and yeah. I was like, that's dope.
I saw this this SpongeBob shirt. It's a Happy Leif Erikson.
Yeah. I saw a Diet Dr. Kelp shirt.
Oh, yeah.
How am I supposed to eat this without my drink? Okay, so I think we've talked enough about cartoons and hip-hop. We can never get enough of cartoons and hip-hop, but, man, you know.
Your life.
The inner machinations of my mind are an enigma.
The inner machinations of my mind are an enigma.
So, to wrap this up, I'm going to throw some stuff at you real quick. Kind of a lightning round. Zach, you'll go first. Warren, you'll go right after him. So it's just going to be one question. Both of y'all answer. Next question. All right? All right. Favorite match, Zach?
Favorite match ever? Yeah. Probably John Cena, Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 23.
Okay.
That's a pretty dope match.
Warren?
Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, Halloween Havoc.
97? Okay. Yeah. That's nice. Favorite wrestler, like individually?
Oh, I think I'm going to have to go Edge.
Edge?
Yeah.
Edge? All right. You know who else likes Edge?
Gino.
Yeah.
Gino. I hope she doesn't watch it.
Gino.
The Latin heartthrob. Gino.
All right, Warren, what about you, man?
She's not going to watch this.
She can't watch
she
it.
She can't watch it.
She's not going to listen to it. She's not going to download this.
All right, Warren, what about you, man?
I see you at home, Ashley.
Rey Mysterio is my favorite.
Rey Mysterio? Okay. Yeah, all right, so last question. What do you guys see in the future for Flydef?
We tagging all over the world. We taking over the tag team world worldwide, baby.
We going everywhere. I see us traveling to Japan. I see us traveling to Mexico.
What?
I see us taking over the whole world.
What?
For real.
What?
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 I said we're going to Mexico. What?
What?
Japan.
What?
What? India.
What?
What? Germany.
What? What?
Albuquerque.
What?
New Mexico.
DCW.
DC.
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Because you thought you were going to stop Flydef, but
All right, boys. Well, thank you guys so much for being on here.
It was fun.
This was probably, you know, this wasn't the most, I mean, this was pretty fun. We've had some fun episodes here on the Hooligan Hour. I think this might be one of the top ones, at least for me.
All right.
So thank you guys for coming again. Zach, Warren, again, you can follow Zach on Instagram and Twitter where?
Twitter, @Zach_Zilla. Instagram, @Zach_Zilla.
All right. And Warren?
You can find me at Roscoe versus the World on Twitter. Roscoe Jr. versus the World on Instagram.
All right. And
Grown Man Jr.
At least for me speaking, I don't know about Brock, but I definitely would love to have you guys back on this show sometime in the near future, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
All right, hooligans, you just heard part two of a two-part interview with Zach Mason and Warren Johnson, collectively known as Flydef. Thank you guys for coming on to the program. We're going to get out to a quick break. When we come back, we will check in with our very own sports insider right here on the Hooligan Hour podcast, Jake Turner. He'll be coming in to talk the latest in the National Football League, so stay locked in for that. Welcome back to the Hooligan Hour podcast. Joining us on the program this week, all the way from Orlando, Florida, he is the host of the Turning Points podcast, contributor to the Pack a Day podcast, and current student of the Dan Patrick School at Full Sail University, Jake Turner. What's going on, my man?
Oh, nothing much. You know, just another day in the NFL neighborhood and a lot of big-time shockers, including the Texans. The Texans have won 6 in a row.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. For those of you that want to follow Jake Turner on social media, his Instagram is JakeTurner61. His Twitter is JakeTurnerSports. Make sure you give him a follow. Jake, let's get right to it. The Oakland Raiders continue their fire sale by releasing Bruce Irvin on Saturday. They go out and lay an egg against the San Francisco 49ers in prime time last Thursday. Is Coach John Gruden in over his head, or should Raiders fans be optimistic about Gruden's second tenure during such a massive overhaul of the roster?
Look, when you walk into a locker, when you walk into the Raiders organization and you say to yourself, it doesn't look good, you have a 10 million, you have a 10-year, $100 million contract. You are the guy. It doesn't matter what Reggie McKenzie's name is as the GM. John Gruden is the GM right now. He's the one that walked in and said, I don't like what I see here. I like the quarterback. I don't like the running back. The wide receivers aren't good. I don't like Bruce Irvin on this team. You know, I mean, that's the thing. So, you know, letting Amari Cooper go, get a first-round pick out of it. Letting Khalil Mack be set off because he doesn't want to pay him. And they have over $70 million in the salary cap for next season. So a lot of money that they can hand out in the free agency period. He has 3 first-round picks. The only way that you could say that John Gruden is an idiot or anything like that is after he makes these moves and right. after he does these draft picks. Otherwise, can't really say much about the Raiders right now. They're not a good football team. They weren't structured well, and that's going to fall on general manager Reggie McKenzie, and that's why Mark Davis brought him in.
Right. I agree on all points. I think it's way too early to it's way too early to have a verdict on John Gruden's second tenure. We got to give it at least 2 years, but realistically, you need 3. You need 3 before you can really figure out what a guy is that in terms of a player or a coach. I'm in total agreement with you there. Speaking of the 49ers, how about that performance by quarterback Nick Mullins in his first NFL start against the Raiders? I would argue that playing quarterback in the National Football League is the toughest gig in all of professional sports. What do you make of his performance, and can he sustain this?
An amazing performance. That was a dog of a game. And Nick Mullins, undrafted kid, in his second year out of the University of Southern Mississippi, comes out and puts out a performance. I mean, 16 for 22, 262 yards, 3 touchdowns. My favorite stat, though, is no interceptions. He played a great game, but it was against a Raiders team that is in transition right now. They have a very good football coach in Kyle Shanahan, who has done, I think, a very good job because he doesn't have his best player, which is Jimmy Garoppolo. The defense has improved a little bit, and they got a favorable schedule. They got the Giants next week at San Francisco. They got to go to Tampa Bay. They go at Seattle and Denver. He can win at least 2 of those next 4 games. And if Nick Mullins does sustain this and be able to show us something great, then they can use him as a training chip.
Right.
Because there are 3 teams out there right now that need a quarterback, and it's Jacksonville and it's Tennessee. And then maybe you can make an argument for Oakland. Or Buffalo.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. He walked into a favorable matchup with that one. We'll see in the coming weeks if he's the real deal Holyfield or if it was just an anomaly. Moving forward, Jake, how about the Chicago Bears? I mean, they played Nate Peterman and the Buffalo Bills, sure, but you've got to be impressed by certain aspects of this team. This defense is reminiscent of what Seattle was building prior to their Super Bowl window a few years back, and Mitch Trubisky looks like the new age Alex Smith, in my opinion. Are the Bears building a future contender in the North?
Absolutely. Without question, they are. Because Ryan Pace did this when he was in New Orleans. He was taught underneath Mickey Loomis and Sean Payton for years. And he knew when he walked in, he tried with John Fox, nothing happened. He realized, I had to go offense. What better way to do it than go bring in Matt Nagy? Matt Nagy comes in, turns Mitchell Trubisky into a good quarterback. 16 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Now, his time management needs work. His coaching style needs work. But in the end, the Bears have something building here. They got Allen Robinson, rookie out of Memphis, Anthony Miller, a solid offensive line. But this defense is also another story. It's always known as defense in Chicago. I mean, they're 5th in the NFL overall, 12th in pass, 3rd in rush. They had 4 turnovers today and 2 defensive touchdowns against the laughable Buffalo Bills.
Right.
But the Bears are building something here, and the Green Bay Packers, Minnesota Vikings, and Detroit Lions have to watch out, because come next year, the Bears are for real.
Wow. Jake Turner on the program. Jake, the Chiefs continue to roll, but they've shown some signs of vulnerability lately. Are they the team to beat in the AFC, or will Tom Brady and the Patriots steal this conference once again?
Well, let me ask you this, Baker. Do you think that Tom Brady's in the NFC right now?
No.
Exactly. Andy Reid is 2-6 versus Belichick overall in their times going against each other.
Right.
Their defense is horrible. Both defenses are dreadful, but Belichick knows more than Andy Reid does. He's better with the time management. He's better with the play calling. He never goes conservative. That's 2 big flaws that Andy Reid does throughout his career. I love Andy Reid. I really do. But here is one thing that is going to hurt them going forward. Pass defense, 29th. Rush, 25th. That's what the Chiefs have right now. I love their offense. I love Patrick Mahomes. But the only thing I will say, though, is the Chiefs have never had a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. So he might be able to go back into Foxborough, or they could try and get him over to Arrowhead and then see what happens here. But until somebody takes down the New England Patriots, the Patriots are still the team to beat.
Right. And speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes completes 23 of 32 passes for a total of 375 yards. Todd Gurley continues to roll through the league. How exciting is it to see 2 stellar young players perform at this level? And who leads the way for MVP at the midway point of the 2018 season? Go ahead.
It's Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley is the MVP until further notice. You could put Patrick Mahomes in there. You could put Kareem Hunt in there. Heck, you could even put in Drew Brees. But right now, Todd Gurley is the guy. Versatility on both sides of the ball. He does such a great job in the air and on the ground. This is pretty much the engine to the Rams truck that they have rolling right now. That's why they're in a tight game with New Orleans, because of what Todd Gurley can do. His versatility can create mismatches. And Patrick Mahomes has been a godsend. He's not even a rookie. He's his 2nd year out of Texas Tech. And then another thing is, that's not the only young players that are coming to life here. You talked about Anthony Miller there. That's another good example. You talk about the likes of Chris Godwin, wide receiver for Tampa Bay. You talk about Michael Thomas. There is a lot of great young talent coming up. And from what we've been seeing in the NFL this year, it's going to be coming for quite some time, because, man, the NFL is so much fun to watch this year.
Jake Turner, always coming in nice with the quality takes right here on the Hooligan Hour podcast. You can follow Jake on Instagram at JakeTurner61 and on Twitter at JakeTurnerSports. I want to give a quick shout out to Jake. He's been dealing with an illness as of late, but he is a professional. He does his job very well, and that's why he came on to the Hooligan Hour podcast, per usual, to deliver exceptional takes. So thank you, Jake. We're going to get out to a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap this thing up.
This is the Hooligan Hour with your host, Brock Baker. Brock Baker.
That concludes this week's edition of the Hooligan Hour podcast. But before we get out, we need to address something vital to our success. Check it out. If you have not already done so, please subscribe to this podcast. Do this. Just press that button on your iPhone or on iTunes if you're using an Apple product, and it will do a lot for increasing the visibility of the Hooligan Hour podcast. After you do that,
Tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell anyone you can about the Hooligan Hour podcast, who we are, what we're doing, and why they should listen. If you do not have iTunes, take a deep breath. Relax, it's okay. You can also find the pod on Spotify, SoundCloud, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Pippa, and now, thechairshot.com. That's right, we have expanded our brand to thechairshot.com website. It's fantastic. It's a great website for all of you hooligans whom are wrestling fans. Make sure that you check it out. In episode 12, we will have our very first edition of Bedlam Reviews. That's right. Johnny is now Johnny Bedlam on this show. He's going to be rolling out his reviews of movies, television, wrestling, sports, etc., etc. We'll also have Joey Savage, the captain from Nerd Thug Radio. He will be on the program. We're going to do a quick interview with him. He's a phenomenal talent. He's got a plethora of knowledge on the podcasting world, so we will check in with him. Thank you once again for a very, very special episode of the Hooligan Hour podcast. As always, I cannot thank you hooligans enough, but stay on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and engage with us. Let us know what you like about the podcast, what you would like to hear on the Hooligan Hour podcast going forward. Do it. Do it now. Join us on November 19th for episode 12. That's November 19th, episode 12, and prepare your asses for takeoff. We are out.